Let us now turn to the epistle of Paul to the Romans. The letter of Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 1. And we shall read verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The title this evening is, Stop, Your Good News Hurts. Stop, Your Gospel Hurts. I am not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ. Why should Apostle Paul say that I am not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ? If the world had to hold the gospel of Christ in high esteem, Paul would not have said that I am not ashamed. You feel ashamed of what you are doing when people ridicule you and mock you. This means the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was ridiculed, mocked, and considered as rubbish. Why did the world consider the gospel of Christ to be rubbish? Because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ exposed the sins of the world. That which was highly esteemed by the people of the nations was now told that it is a lie. It is worthless. It is satanic and destructive of the souls. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ pointed to their idols, for example. They directly told them that their idols are nothing. They told the people that the sacrifices offered to the idols was offered to the devil. We hear Paul saying, What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idol is anything. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would that ye should have fellowship with, you should not have fellowship with devils. The same was said in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 7. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devil, after whom they have gone a whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. Now people who do idol worship are emotionally attached to their idols. If they are willing to reason out, they most likely will agree and see the logic that the idol is man-made. But they are not able to get rid of their emotional attachment to idols. The idols become their darling, and moreover, there is an element of fear that they will offend their gods, and there will be bad consequences. When the Lord Jesus Christ convicted me of idol worship, I took all the idols from the house of Jesus and Mary and all that, and I burnt them, and I took the hammer, and I broke the ones which were in the glass. And at that moment, I thought, am I doing something wrong? You see, because you're emotionally attached to it. And you're afraid that something might happen to you. So telling people to turn away from their idols hurts people's emotions and it hurts their beliefs. So should Christian evangelists address this issue in their preaching? Apostle Paul says that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For the people of the world not to worship idols is foolishness. For the people of the earth not to adore and love their luxury cars and luxury homes and treat it like an idol is foolishness. When the Christian evangelist tells the world that this is sin, that God has commanded us not to worship idol and covet the riches of this world, the non-Christian world is hurt. It hurts them. So they mock and they put the evangelist to shame. If possible, they will call on the state police to shut them up in the cell, and if possible, even kill the evangelist. What did the apostles do? In Acts chapter 19, verse 22, we hear Paul saying, "So he sent unto Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way," that is, about the Christians. "For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which had made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of the occupation, and said, 'Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth.'" We gain money from making idols. "Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul had persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands." So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. And when they heard these saying, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion, and so on. What was Demetrius telling his people? He was saying, "People, my people, this gospel of Jesus Christ hurts. It hurts our emotion, our beliefs, and moreover, it hurts our business." Brethren, what do you think? Are you going to condemn Paul and his companions for it? He is causing hurt to the people. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 30, "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Jesus does not want you and me to actually cut off our limbs, but Jesus is showing the urgency of entering into the kingdom. It is better to get hurt here and change the direction of our lives than suffer forever in hell. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. Which hurt is better, dear friends? The hurt that is temporary, or the hurt that is eternal? Moreover, the hurt that mankind complains about is a selfish hurt. It is like a child throwing tantrums because he does not get what he demands from his parents. The mother knows that it is not the child's need. The mother and the father knows that the child cannot and should not get whatever he sees and feels the desire to have. God knows better what is good for us, what is right for us. Christians, do you really believe that idol worship will take people into hell? Do you really believe that idol worship is actually a worship to the devils? And you must ask the same question about the many sins that the Word of God talks about. If you don't believe it to be true, you will be very sympathetic towards the people. You will truly believe that we are hurting people and that this should be stopped. To be sympathetic is good, no doubt about it. There is no doubt to be compassionate for those who are going to hell. I was challenged when I didn't know God. I was challenged. This man demanded and said to me, "Tell me, is Jesus the only way or not?" I was a Catholic. I went to the seminary. But this man challenged me that day and asked me, and I was wroth, I was angry at this man. You see, so you must know if you truly believe that we are hurting people and that this should be stopped. Deep down, you will feel that the apostles were wrong if you think that the apostles were hurting people. That the command of the Lord in Exodus 20 not to worship idol is not right. You will come to that conclusion if you think that you are hurting people. But even if you believe that the scripture is right, that God is always right in what he commands, yet your heart may say, "It is right for me, but it need not be right for them who worship idols." If you are a person who has been influenced by a soft culture, you will not want to give people anything that is bitter. You will want to show to the people of other religions the benefits of your religion so that it will be acceptable to them and draw them to like it, not necessarily to obey it. If you read the Vatican Council documents of the Roman Catholic Church, it is actually a soft document. Therefore, I as a Roman Catholic believe that each of us, all of us, can be saved in our own way. It does not matter whether you're a Hindu or a Muslim or whichever religion that you follow. You can be saved in your own way. This document makes one believe that Christ is found in all religion, that salvation can be attained from any way, whichever way you want to. This is how the Pope and the liberal Christians woo other religions to accept them. For this group of people, Jesus Christ is not unique. His teaching is not unique. Christianity is not exclusive for them. It is all inclusive. This is what many so-called Christians believe and preach. They are using, like the world, soft cultural principles and advertisement to be accepted by the world. What is the pattern shown by the Lord Jesus Christ? He spoke the truth boldly and firmly. As Jesus went to preach from city to city, village to village, he had to show the urgency to the souls that they should turn away from their sins, believe in him, and enter into the kingdom to secure eternal life. Jesus went about telling people, "Narrow is the way that leads to life, and broad is a way that leads to destruction." And Jesus told the Jews, In Luke chapter 13, verse 28 onward, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself shall be thrust out. He told them directly that you will be thrust out, thrown out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out, depart hence, for Herod wants to kill you. And Jesus said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Further to this, Jesus openly condemns the whole of Jerusalem. Luke chapter 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is not a soft gospel. In the Gospel of John, we are constantly told that the Jews grumbled against Jesus. We are told that they wanted to arrest Jesus. They wanted to lay their hands on him. They wanted to cast stones at him. As their hatred began to grow towards the Lord Jesus Christ, they strongly believed that for the survival of this nation, for the profit of this nation, this Jesus must die. They firmly believed that Jesus should be killed. Why would anyone want to kill a person like the Lord Jesus Christ? If he was talking love all the time, peace all the time, if he was soft towards sinners, why would they want to kill Jesus? But to this you might say that Jesus was harsh towards the self-righteous people, not sinners. But self-righteous people are sinners too. What is spoken to the self-righteous is also heard by the rest of the people, rest of the sinners. What is spoken to the sinners in compassion is also heard by the self-righteous people. Just like Jesus did, so much the evangelist do. Look, the people that are opposing the gospel of Christ and arresting the preachers today are self-righteous people. It is they that have brought in the evil law of abortion, gay marriages, casinos, business on the Lord's Day, euthanasia, sex education for children, providing hormone therapy for children to change sex, taking away religious education and introducing secular humanism, and so on. Are these things not to be preached in the open? To have the right to preach the gospel, to stop sinful laws made by political leaders, is not only to be fought in the civil courts. Yes, if necessary, we should do that, and that is good, and that is being done. But it must be known that a command to preach the good news of salvation comes from God and his Son Jesus Christ. For the world, the good news of Christ Jesus is an offense. the gospel, the good news, hurts. It hurts because it exposes the sins of the world. It exposes my sin. It exposes your sin. This means people are told about their sins. But it does not end there. There is hope given. There is forgiveness offered. This is the good news. I mean, the good news can only be relevant in a bad news. And the bad news is we are all sinners. People don't realize that they are living a sinful life until they are told about it. As sinners, we are dead in our sins. We are dead in our sins. As sinners, our conscience is dead unless it is awakened. I mean, I can go on robbing things without nobody noticing it. And then somebody finds out and he comes and tells me, "You're a thief. You're a thief." It's going to hurt me. But if I don't tell him that I found out that you're a thief, it's not going to bother him. He'll think he's a hero. He can go on doing. That's what wicked people do. They say, "I can do anything. God does not see me. See, I'm so successful." The Lord did not begin his ministry of the gospel by going to Jerusalem and convince the temple Sanhedrin, the Jewish court, to give him permission to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus did not go to the high priest to take permission to preach, nor did the apostle do such a thing. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did not depend on the religious or state authority for the truth to be proclaimed. He did not get it sanctioned by the Roman governor and the Jewish high court. And he commanded his disciples, "Go. Go. All authority is given to Christ." And so he said, "Go." He commanded his disciples, "Go and preach the gospel. Be my witness. Teach people." The Bible said that even when many believed in the name of Jesus, listen to this, Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Even when many people believed in the name of Jesus, Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, for he knew what was in man. John chapter 3, 23 and 25. There is a tendency in men, those that are influenced by liberal theology, soft culture, social gospel, to take the side of the poor, to take the side of sinners. And these theologies and cultural movements make you believe that Jesus was the friend of sinners in the sense he identified with them, he dressed up like them, he participated in their acts, and he didn't bother what they did. What they did. It's okay. This is very dangerous belief. It makes people think that it is okay if the poor sinned, but not so the rich and those in power. It makes one believe that the poor, the majority of us, are already hurt in so many ways. Why put more burden on them? I was influenced by liberation theology and social gospel for justice. And this made me believe that the bad guys are the rich and the powerful. It is the rich and the powerful that are to be attacked, changed, and made to repent. And Jesus is on the side of the poor. You know, when we begin to think this way, the world absorbs you. You are not able to speak the truth. It's a dangerous philosophy. It's a dangerous thought. After I was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, I must confess that as many times as I went from village to village in Goa, India, evangelizing, a thought would come to my mind, should I not leave them alone? Must I tell them about their idol worship and make them suffer the consequences of departing from it? Because when you are converted to Christ, there is persecution. There is much hurt. I myself have gone through that hurt. I felt they are already poor and having enough trouble. Why trouble them more? Let God do that work. I should simply tell them about the love of God. One day I heard a Christian preach in the open air about idol worship, and my immediate reaction was, stop it. There will be trouble. Where did the trouble lie? In this preacher or in me? I was afraid. I did not want trouble. You see, dear friends, when Christians raise objection to the open-air preaching and pointing out sins of the world, we must ask ourselves, from where is this objection coming? Is it from God's word or from my own lack of faith and wrong understanding of the word of God? I must examine to see if the old residue of worldly thought, worldly philosophy is still lingering in my mind. It did for me for a while. In all probability, the flaw of thinking lies in me, and I am only trying to escape by justifying it with my own theology. It could be I'm afraid to openly speak the truth. The truth is, God is not the respecter of any man, rich or poor. Yes, he loves the poor because they are ready to hear the good news of salvation. The poor are hurt in many ways. But when it comes to the West, people are fatted like the cows of Bashan. They are more than what is required. And having enough, they fall under the category of rich. They are self-sufficient. And this self-sufficiency make them to go against the commands of the Lord. Self-sufficiency makes a person feel that he does not need God. Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. When the apostles preached against idol worship, many people in Ephesus were freed from the bondage of idols and began to worship the true and living God. They were saved from eternal damnation and were given eternal life. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ did not hurt them, but liberated them from the terrible hurt that was caused by Satan. Those that believed and were transformed were delivered from the bondage of Satan, superstition and emotional manipulation of Satan and businessmen. But there were those who, hearing the gospel of salvation, were filled with wrath and wanted to kill Paul and his associates. Let us take another scene of preaching. The apostles were preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The priest and the Sadducees were hurt. Now, this is purely about belief, but in every belief there is truth or falsehood. Truth hurts. We are told in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 4, verse 1, "And as they spoke unto the people," that is the apostles, "the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold," that is in the cell, in prison, in dungeon, "unto the next day, for it was now evening." These men who heard the message of the resurrection, they were hurt, they were grieved, they were pained, they were offended, they felt that they were disrespected. They were troubled. Why? Because the disciples preached that if you believe in Jesus, you will rise again. For Jesus rose from the dead. For preaching the resurrection, they were arrested, put in prison, and were judged by the court. The court passed an order telling the apostles, Acts chapter 4 verse 18, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hear unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which you have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them." You see how things progressed? First, don't speak about the resurrection. Then don't speak about Jesus at all. Commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. The very name of the Lord Jesus Christ offends them. Does it not now? When we speak about the name of Jesus on high streets, the people whom you say are hurt hates the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus hurts the priest and the Sadducees. They were grieved. It hurt them. They sent the captain of the temple guard to arrest the apostles. Dear friends, even if you preach saying God loves you, God is love, there will be people who will be hurt. What love? They will say, God has not given me a job. God has not given me a home. I am sick. I have lost my wife. My wife or my husband has divorced me, taken all the money, and I'm left with nothing. My son met with an accident. And if they have nothing to be hurt about, they will say, what? God is love? If God is love, why is there poverty? Why is there sickness? So what is the real issue with people who want to soften the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The issue is not with the Bible or the people who are hearing it. The issue is with soft Christians who don't believe in the power of the salvation of the gospel. The issue is with sinful nature of our soul. The issue is with our wicked heart. People's war is not with us, dear friends. They are fighting God. As you and I fought against God. I used to tell my wife that Jesus did not suffer much, like the political activists did. They were tortured. What has Jesus suffered? That was my attitude. You see, against Christ, until I came to know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered so much for my sins and died on my behalf to save me and deliver me. So people's war is not with us, just as our war is not with the people. They are fighting God. They are fighting Jesus Christ. They are fighting against the spirit of righteousness. Now remember, the high priest and the leaders were not following the apostles wherever they went. Someone of their own belief went and reported each time. The apostles were once again taken into custody. Again, they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Next thing they tell the authorities in verse 30 of chapter 5 of Acts, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and to counsel to slay them. You see, they spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ and what you did to them. They were very, very hurt. Resurrection was the issue that hurt the class of humanist most. The Sadducees were not the real priestly class. These were in fact businessmen who knew that there is much money in religion. They even paid bribe to the Roman governor in order to get position of the high priest. The temple had become a business center. The apostles were accused of creating social disorder. In their eyes, it was so. Now, if you belong to the soft camp, you would easily say, "Why are these men making trouble? Why did they speak about the resurrection? Don't they know that the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection? Why did they provoke them? They had told them not to speak about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had told them not to speak about Jesus. Look, they are making it a personal issue now." Knowing that the Sadducees did not like the name of Jesus and did not believe in the resurrection, yet the apostles preached the resurrection. This is down-to-earth radical living. This is down-to-earth radical rebellion. But for the good of the people. Good of the people. But maybe death to the apostles and to the evangelists. Lastly, let us look at Stephen. Here again we see a radical preaching of the gospel. He is talking to the Jews. Certain group of people began to dispute with him. He is taken to the council. Acts chapter 6. Stephen began to give them the history of Israel from Abraham to the time of Jesus. And then he said to them, Acts chapter 7, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. You have persecuted the prophets and so on, and have slain the just one, that is Jesus." When they heard this, they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They didn't want to listen. And they ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. Stoned him to death. Stephen, we are told, is a man full of faith and power. Stephen is a man full of the Holy Ghost. Yet his words were harsh at certain point. He accuses the Jews and calls them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. He tells them of God's love and exposes their wickedness. He simply states what they are with the view that they will turn to God and repent of their sins. But he received what Jesus got in return: death. You know what they did to the prophets. Dear friends, are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus? Do you want the world to make you acceptable, comfortable, and praise you? No, it will certainly not happen to two Christians. No. And so I end with what Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 onward. "For I think that God had set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as filth of the world, and are of the obscuring of all things unto this day. All this because they persuaded people to give up their sins and be saved by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray.